the schools, half of that was special ed, half of that was high school, half of that was younger ages. And I also have a master's in social work, and I spent my little bit of time in counseling. When I was teaching school, I had no idea that there were kids who were coming to school from this mindset. So imagine yourself as a young kid. You are at home, you've had a nice evening with your family, you got your clothes laid out for school, you're all ready to go to homework, you go to sleep, you're having this wonderful dream if you're a guy, you're dreaming about hitting a home run in a big league baseball game, and if you're a lady, maybe you're dreaming about walking the runway and winning beauty contests, who knows. But in your dream, there are lots of cheering for you going on, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, cheering is not actually in my dream, there's noises in my environment. And they're not cheering, they're screaming, they're crying, there's terror. So you creep out, you're scared, but you open the door, and you look and you see your dad. He's on the floor, he's being handcuffed, he's got a policeman's knee in his back. And you hear someone say, "Get in your room!" And so, of course, you go in your room, and you don't get in bed, you go under your bed because you're terrified. But somehow you make it through the night, you get up for breakfast, dad's not there. Maybe auntie's there giving you breakfast, and one's talking about what happened last night. She's terrifying. So you're a little kid, and you're thinking, wow, when are they coming for me? I don't know what's happening, but I know it's all bad, and it's got to be related to me, because, you know, this is my dad, and whatever happens to dad, mom, that's going to go on with me. So you go on to school, you know better than to say anything when you get to school about what happened at home last night. Because even though you may not have had any contact like this in the past, at least you know that at your school, there are colonists. There are people who will talk bad about you because you are connected to someone who is in prison. You may not know why you know that, but you know that. So what do you do when you get to school? You sit there dutifully and learn your algebra and your English and all those other things? No, you don't. When you hear a loud noise, you instantly jump up and threaten somebody because you think you're about to be hit or attacked or arrested. So you go to the principal's office. In the principal's office, you got to keep your mouth shut because you can't talk about what happened at home last night. You maybe never understand why you're being aggressive. And so, of course, the principal, the teacher, whoever's looking at you, they're assuming from your silence that you're just proud of your aggressiveness, that you're just, you know, they assume whatever they want to assume. Just like you're assuming, yeah, that you're defiant, you're going to be a violent kid because you've got a parent that's a violent kid. And that's what felonism is. So felonism, we invented the word because we were looking over these years that I used to now, and even before. When I was a teacher, the last 6 of my 20 years of teaching, I was in a relationship with this man. And we got married while he was incarcerated, but I didn't tell anybody at school because I knew there were felonists at school. It's kind of like being invited as an honored guest to the Klan parties and just hoping no one finds out that your dad is black. You know, really, what's going to happen if they find out? Well, you're going to get kicked out. So the last days that I taught school and had children in the classroom, I told my kids about my husband. I said, you know, you have got to get yourself educated, not because you just need a diploma, not because, you know, for all the superficial reasons, but because you've got to do it for yourself. And you have to make right decisions for yourself. There are things happening in this world that are terrible, but you have to get as much knowledge so you can control your life and not have prison as an experience. Half of my kids in that room started like popping and saying, well, my dad's been in prison, my mom's been in prison, my grandpa's been in prison, my mom's been in 4 times. And I already knew there were 3 kids in my class of about 40 that, well, 2 big different groups, but 2 who had incarcerated parents. I didn't know half of my children. And I am a person who was supposed to be aware of these things. They didn't know they had this in common. If they had known they had this in common, don't you think they would have bonded instead of fighting each other all year long? We had fights in class every day. But I was teaching in inner city school. But, you know, felonism is alive and well in America. It is, you know, you hear on the radio and television, oh, we got bad teachers in school. We got terrible teachers. That wasn't my experience. I busted my butt trying to teach kids. Most of the teachers I knew were the same. But we're all fighting an invisible enemy. We don't think. We don't stop and think about how we are prejudiced against kids. Even Andy, when he was still graduate and get a good profession and, you know, and have a great life.
And one of, and some of the things, you know, we know some things and we don't know some things. Some of the things we know, right now, while we're sitting here, there are 2.7 million children with a parent in prison. 2.7. Now, that number is really very conservative. There are experts out there that believe that number is actually three times that. There's not enough research being done. Linda went out last year and did an assessment just in our own community to find out what was being done specifically for generational incarcerated kids. Now, a generational incarcerated kid is a kid that has a parent that went to prison and probably a grandfather also. These are children that are growing up following their parents into prison. In my family, my grandfather went to prison, my father went to prison, and it's alleged that way back when, I even had a great-great-grandfather that was hanged for horse thieving in North Carolina. So, I mean, it goes way back. Somebody's calling me, but they'll leave me a message. So, hello, it's probably one of my convict friends that I give advice and tutor to. In the workforce right now, when people, and the reason I'm talking about this is because to help children not to go to prison, you have to help the families. We know that strong family connection keeps kids out of prison because this is where they're going to get their guidance and their love. And if they don't get it there, then you have to get it from an educated third parent, which could be an aunt, grandmother. A lot of grandmothers and aunts are raising children out there. Felonism rears its head in many ways. The box. The infamous box. Have you ever been convicted of a felony? Well, there are a large group of people in America that have been convicted of some kind of felony and have to hit that box. And that excludes them from certain jobs. And what we've been saying, nice jobs, and what we've been saying for years is, you know, if you're going to exclude somebody from a job, make it crime specific. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, obviously you don't want a pedophile working in a daycare center. I mean, come on, that's a no-brainer, right? But could he not clean, could he not wash dishes, or could he not load a truck or unload a truck? You see what I'm saying? And the more that we categorize criminals in these little pockets and then we try to group them all together and paint them with a wide brush, what we don't realize we're doing is we're setting them up for failure and we're setting their children up for failure. And it becomes a vicious cycle of this revolving door. We all say we're tired of these high rates of recidivism. But at the same time, when somebody comes back to the community, we don't even want to talk to them, a little less, you know, give them an opportunity for a job. So I would say to everybody, check your felonism. Where are you in that area about how you feel about giving somebody a second chance? You know, and because when you give a person a second chance, you're also giving that child a first chance. And the government right now, they're like out there building beds for the future to put people into in prison. And some of these numbers, as I've told you guys before, you can check this out, they base some of those numbers on the number of children that people incarcerated right now have, because they know these kids are going to grow up, commit crimes, and go to prison. And to me, that's insidious, because if you know these kids are due to go to prison, why not invest that money in the front end in education, and then that way you don't have to spend it on incarceration? So our drumbeat is education, not incarceration, because we can do better. And we are doing better in certain areas, and people are coming in and trying to make a difference. You have a country western entertainer, Mark Colley. I think he goes by Mark Colley 2 on the internet. He and his crew came into Brushy Mountain Prison and did this wonderful documentary and soundtrack of music that dealt with prison issues. And so he's out there now. He released an album a couple of months ago. So what I'm saying is there are people out there that are starting to do things. Check your communities. See how you can get involved. And remember, when you see these little kids, please don't tell them what their destiny is. Because when you tell them they're going to go to prison because their father or somebody else went, you're kind of heading them that direction. tried to intervene.
So this is our call to action. Check your own felonism. I've had it myself. He's had it himself. And his family's had it himself. And go into your community, find out what's been done to help prevent generational incarceration. Are there any groups in your school or community that are specifically designed for kids whose parents are incarcerated? Give them support.
And if they're not there, start one.
And
we'll
if
help
you find them, please tweet us.
And we will help you get it going in your community.
And he thinks him without the O, and I'm at El Hope.
Thank you, guys. Y'all can go.